Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. I have my wonderful, fabulous co-host, Shirley Carter.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening for another Hot Topics. It is, can you believe it's 2 weeks out from having a new president?
Mine. 2 weeks out and scary.
Yes. Because this it's been a journey.
I just like to make an appeal to our listening audience that, you know, regardless of what the media is saying about the statistics at the polls, we need everybody that has the right and ability to vote. I encourage you, I admonish you to get to those polls. If you can't physically get to the polls, we have early voting. It started in some states here in South Florida. It started on yesterday. You have 2 weeks. There is no excuse for no one not to be voting in this election. This is very crucial. It's critical. And I'm telling you, I shudder to think about the future of our young people. And for us, Shirley, we're like on the crossroads of senior citizens. And, you know, I'm afraid. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory. That's the only thing that is our saving grace, is that, you know, we're going to exercise our vote. I'm going to exercise my vote as a Christian. But I am going to be put my trust totally in God, and I'm going to be praying. You know, a lot of times, Shirley, people don't pray for our president. We have to pray for those that have rule over us. That's what the Word of God says.
Yes. And we have to pray and be steadfast in what we're praying about, because if we don't, and some people tend to just pray and, you know, and it's not really in their heart. They're more speaking it just to say, okay, I did it. It's not about that. It's about having faith, being committed to the faith that you have, praying on it, and standing on it. And we got to get people out to vote. Because if you don't step up and vote, then, you know, you can't have a voice. And I refuse to be silent.
And you have to vote for those in your local community. Dear sir, madam, please don't go to the poll just to vote for the president. Those officials that are in our local community, the mayor, the commissioners, the senators, the state reps, they control the money in our community. So you must go out and vote. You must educate yourselves on who they are and what they stand for, because they also control the police department and the fire department. So we want to make sure that we're not having a whole gamut of government over us that believe that it's okay to grope women and down talk them, that don't believe that it's okay to stop our young African American or Hispanic men or women and feel that they can do whatever they want to do. We need to make sure that we put people in place that are going to hold individuals accountable when they break the law. This is the land of the free. Everybody's trying to get here because it's free. But as Martin Luther King said, the Negro still ain't free. We're still fighting. We're still struggling to have a mark where, yes, we're interracially marrying and, you know, there's sexual precedences that's going on with the same-sex marriages and all this is going on here. But, you know, we as a people need to be protected. We need to stand firm. We need to be focused. And we need to get back to godly principles. We need to get back to the fundamentals of the Word of God. What does the Bible say about all this? I know you didn't tune in to hear about a Bible study or what God's Word, but, you know, in this day and time, you're going to need a power higher than your own, and that is God, the creator of all things and of the universe. So you have to rely on a power greater than your own, but even in relying on that power, we have to exercise our right and vote. Shirley?
Yes. You know, we have to, because, you know, one of the things I want people to say is, you know, to understand that if you don't vote, you voted. And the party that you probably don't want in there the most will win. It's a no vote is a vote for Trump. If you vote third party, it's a vote for Trump. And some people may ask, how is that so? Because what happens is that it takes away from the candidate, Hillary Clinton, because of that. And I hear people saying, because of a lot of stuff that's come out in the media and everything, it's overshadowing her accomplishments. If you want to know more about her, go to her website. Look at her plan that she has in place. Look at her policies. If you don't understand what a policy is, let me start local policies. Your mayor, your city council, the decisions that they make, how they affect your life. Then you go and look at Hillary. What does she have in place that will affect your life? Does it concern you? Maybe, maybe not. But does it concern your grandchildren, your children, your relatives? Would they benefit from it? You got to move beyond yourself and look at your community in a whole and look at your family in a whole. Who is going to best benefit you? I look at this woman's history. I know there's a lot of talk about Benghazi and all of these other things and the email, having a personal server. She wasn't the first one to have a personal service that was in politics or in government in D.C. Several of them have had it. Look at her history. She started out in the South. What was it, in Missouri? No, not Missouri, Arkansas. Working for family.
Right.
Working for family. Her whole thing was about children having equal opportunity as far as education, no matter what race they were. Her other thing was about middle class and lower class families that was not being taken care of by some of the things. They couldn't meet the income level to get all the benefits. So she put laws into place. She couldn't put them in there by herself, but she fought for those laws to be put in place to cover them. And even when the 9/11 happened in New York, on 9/11 when all the towers went down and the firefighters and all that, she went out and she fought for things to be put in place so those firefighters, first responders, would be taken care of for the rest of their life when it comes to their health. She initiated that. She worked with Congress on many different bills and things that affect not just one nationality, all, and especially if you were Black. She did a lot for Black people, and she continues to fight for us. There's a lot of stuff that they don't put out there. You have to listen and listen to the media, and then you have to research yourself. Do some fact checking. Don't believe everything that comes out of someone's mouth. Do some fact checking. I'm that person. I'm going to fact check you. If I'm going to vote for you, I'm going to make you earn my vote. I want to see what do you do, what have you done, and what is your track record. And I'm going to hold you accountable. And if I put my vote out there and vote for you, and then I see you're not holding up your end and you're not fighting to make sure you get things in place, I understand that she can't do it by herself. I understand the fact that it has to go through Congress, and that's why we have to vote for our senators and our the other people that are going up to Congress. Congress is the one who stops things. We're dealing with that now with President Obama. A lot of people say, well, he didn't do anything for the black people. He didn't do this. Are you kidding me? There's so much he's done that you can't even begin to name them all. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to tell you, look it up. Google it. Get a list. But he can only do so much. Congress stops a lot of things that he tries to put through. A lot of things are still sitting in Congress waiting to get to his desk. They refused to. They wanted to make him a one-term president, period. And so they've done everything to block whatever he's done, and some things to hurt so many people. We've spent millions and millions of dollars on taxpayer money on trying to block Hillary Clinton from becoming the president. They've, you know, even had all this investigation by the FBI. The head of the FBI went in and said there is nothing criminally that she did. So now they're investigating him because they don't believe him. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like if you don't go our way, then we're going to fight this and fight this. And that's why I say you've got to get out and vote. You've got to. Don't you give up more than you think you've given up. And don't you even think that your vote does not count. You should vote this year like your life depends on it, because it does. Life as you know it now will never be the same if we let Donald Trump.
Yeah, it will never be the same. It won't be the same regardless of who's in office, because, you know, we're ending, we're at the close of the changing of the gods, and so it is in the natural, it is in the spirit. So there is going to be a shift regardless of who's in office, but it behooves us to move forward and do it prayerfully as opposed to not doing anything. But tonight, you know, I just wanted to encourage individuals to vote, and, you know, if you're a Republican, if you want to vote Republican, vote Republican. You're a Democrat, vote the Democrat, but vote. It is your right. Do not give it up. But this month is also Domestic Violence and Cancer Awareness Month. And, you know, I'm a survivor of domestic violence, and I can tell you it is still one of the worst-kept secrets in America. There's physical, emotional, sexual, verbal, and domestic violence against men, women, and children. We have more predators loose in our great United States than I think in the whole of history. I don't know if because they feel comfortable, they feel lax because they've gotten away with it so long that, you know, they've just magnified to be this great Goliath that's been snatching our children and assaulting our children. And you know, the abuse against women has escalated. It used to be one in four women were victims of domestic violence, but now it's one in three, and it's now one in four, where it used to be one in six for men. So, you know, this country has really taken a turn for the worst, and domestic violence is at the forefront. So those of you that know someone that may be going through it, I suggest that you read and educate yourselves on it, because domestic violence is a very hard situation to be in, you know, especially if it's with somebody that you love. Yes, we know that individuals are involved where there's stalking, where the relationship is only one-sided. You know, we talked about that, Shirley, when we were dealing with relationships, how people form a relationship that they feel that they're dating and in a committed relationship with someone, and that individual has no idea that they're in a relationship because they have a relationship fabricated in their imaginations. And a lot of times in domestic violence, that person is incited and enraged because he believes something, he perceives something to be a certain way that incites the anger against that individual that he's supposed to love. So domestic violence is a very sensitive, hard, humiliating, fearful place to be at. And I have been there. I was there for 19 years, living in fear. Every day I suffered in silence. No one knew, had an idea, and I was out in the public, and no one knew that I was a battered woman. And when I used to wear shades because I had black eyes, nobody knew the real reason why I had the shades on. When I would be walking, slumped over because my frame, my stomach area was sore, they had no idea why I was walking that way because I always kept my best foot forward. But there are warning signs. There are signs that you can notice by some individual that's being battered or emotionally battered because, you know, you diminish yourself and try to be invisible. You kind of isolate yourself from family and friends. You don't want to participate when there's family functions and when you're at work. You know, you pretty much stay to yourself. It's a whole isolation tactic because that's what that predator does. It tries to isolate you, to control your mind, your actions, your emotions, so that you're totally vulnerable to their will, their desire, their way. And God did not intend that to be so. And a lot of times we victims, we yield to that perpetrator because we want to, like, wave a white flag of peace saying I surrender just so that it will stop. Just, and an emotional and mental battery is just as bad as the physical. But when you're getting on it on both ends, I'm telling you, it's like I used to just wish that I would go to sleep and not wake up. But, you know, God always has greater. And that's one thing that I realized that the perpetrator does is try to put your light out because that light is shining bright, and they see that spark of hope. They see that spark of wanting to get to the next level. And when they're dealing with insecurities themselves, that's what causes that rage because they're not fulfilling the purpose that they feel that they should be doing here on this earth. So they want to make sure that you don't outrun them or outshine them, because I've told people when I'm speaking to them that when you're in a relationship with someone, they know more about you than you know about yourself. That's why they chose you, because they already know mm-hmm. who you are. They already know your potential. That's why they gravitate to you, because they know who you are. And when you're in a relationship and even go into marriage, that individual knows you. He knows something about you that you don't know about yourself, and that's why they're able to, when the Word of God says two becoming one, that means that you're able to complement one another. Where there are shortcomings, then the other one will be strong. But that's not to say that you belittle them or make them feel less than because you're not there yet. But you pull each other up, having a hand up, not a hand down, beating them down, suppressing them, and trying to put out that spark of light that only comes from God. So domestic violence this month is very critical, and it's not just this month. We bring awareness. My foundation, The Soul of a Woman, is working every day diligently, you know, on the phone, supporting individuals that are going through situations of domestic violence and children that are being, you know, ripped apart, you know, trying to be on both sides and not knowing what side to be. And that's another thing I want to talk about too, Shirley, that, you know, when you're going through a situation where you're being battered mentally, physically, emotionally yourself, your children, if there are any in that relationship, they're going through just as much as you're going through because they don't want to see it, they don't want to hear it, and most times they're being abused themselves. So they're fighting for their lives, but they're little innocent beings while we've grown and mature. Imagine the brunt of responsibility, the load, the depression, the anxiety that they're facing as children going through a situation as such as domestic violence. And then when you're going through a divorce, even if it's not domestic violence, physical, just when a child is in a situation where parents are being divorced, the separation, the anxiety, it creates that where they take that into maturity and don't know how to function in relationships because they feel that, oh, it's not going to work because it didn't work for my parents. Oh, I'm not going to love because my parents didn't stay in love. I'm never going to get married because why bother just to get divorced? All these different things are compiled on them in their emotions, in their mind, their way of thinking to, you know, they grow up and they wind up being a product of their environment because of what they saw. But we can rewrite the scripts regardless of where you've been. What matters now is where you are right now and where you see yourself going into the future. You can wipe the slate clean. First of all, you've got to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself from where you've been because no man has the ability to redeem time. We can't buy it back. We can't beg it back. We can't pray it back. We can't redeem time. So forgive yourself for where you've been so you can free yourself for where you must go. I say must go because you can't stay in that same dormant space that you're in. You have the power to go to the next level. You have the power to live your dreams. You have the power to open that door and walk through it. It's hard, it's rough, but it is possible and it is necessary for you to be able to get to that next level. You have to find the courage within yourself, just like you get up every morning. Shirley, I know last week I was saying that I had an accountability partner because it was hard getting up some mornings. I wanted to stay in bed with the covers over my head because I didn't know what to do next. But I had an accountability partner that used to call me every day and ask me what was I doing and told me I need to get up out of that bed. Yes, you need to get up out of that bed. You need to get out of that relationship. You need to get off that job if it's causing you to be depressed every day. It's up to you. You have the power to choose. And everyone has the ability to be great, but you have to choose it. Just like you have to choose to be free, not be stayed bound in a situation that is causing you to function up against the natural ability that you were given. We must live life and live it more abundantly. And that's all I have to say regarding domestic violence. And you can go to my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. There's information on there that will encourage you, inspire you to move forward and choose life. Choose life. Choose life. You're still breathing. Your heart is still beating. You're still able to function. Choose life. Live it more abundantly. Yes, I know when you come through situations, you go through depression. It's a normal thing to go into through depression, but you have the ability to get up every morning, brush your teeth, wash your face, and say, I'm going to open that door, and I'm going to walk through it. If it's to be, it's going to be up to you. You have that power. Nobody can take that power away from you unless you physically give it away. So go to the website from thesoulofawoman.com. There's information regarding suicide because, yes, when you go through a situation, you want life to be over. I wanted my life to be over, but I didn't want to take my life. This is one of the reasons why I started Hot Topics from the Soul, because four young men had more courage to take their life than to live it. And I say to you, it's always better the next day and the next day if you just keep on going. It's just like turning a page of a good book, a nice juicy novel with laughter and joy and love in it. You have the ability to write your script and turn that page. So do it today and visit the website and get information. And you can always reach out to me on soultopics@gmail.com. soultopics@gmail.com. And it's also Cancer Awareness Month, and last week we had the opportunity to listen to my co-host Shirley Carter, and I tell you, I really love and appreciate her, and I celebrate her life because she is a champion, you know, fighting that fight every day and willing to talk and encourage and motivate individuals that are also going through cancer, not understanding it, or have family members. She has a foundation Against All Odds, and Shirley, you can tell our audience about that and share some more information regarding cancer.
Thank you. And, you know, I have to tell you, every time I hear your story, I look at the fact that all that you've gone through, you have dedicated your life to help other women and their children. And when we think about our purpose in life, you are living, walking testimony that our purpose is not always an easy road. You went through a lot, more than the average woman when it comes to domestic violence, to get to your purpose. And in spite of what you went through, by helping others, and when you come in contact with them, it can take you back. But you stand strong, and you stand in the gap for them and helping them to move to another level and to understand that there is life. There is a fulfilling life that they can live by you being an example to them, walking in your purpose. You took the beats, the abuse, all to get to the point where you're at now, to say, I stood, I walked out of it, I crawled out of whatever steps you took, but you got out. And to show someone that you lived 19 years in that situation, that is a miracle within itself. I don't know if you've looked at that whole picture like that.
I try not
years.
To.
But, you know, that 19 years
I try not to
because
it's hard.
It's suffocating. But you're breathing now. And you're breathing life into other women. Said, I can do it after 19 years. You can too. Don't give up on yourself. So you have a tall order in your life as far as your purpose. And you are helping so many women and family and men. So it's not just women that get abused, men too.
Yes, they do.
But the steps that you take, yes.
And you know, I had someone say to me, they said, you know, looking at you and you be talking and you always laughing and stuff, you know, I would never think that you went through a situation like that. And I, you know, really, when I've heard some of the stories that men and women, children have gone through as it relates to violence, it's like, it makes my story seem so insignificant. And I really don't feel that I'm doing enough or have done enough. So that's why I keep pressing and keep doing, even when I don't have the finances to do what I desire to do, even though the support is not there. You know, I do the events and stuff, and, you know, sometimes it's just enough to cover. And a lot of times, you know, when I need something done, I thank you for all my supporters that I can pick up the phone and say, I have this, this, and this going on, and I need some assistance because I can't do it by myself. I thank you for being my champions and holding up my arms and walking this walk with me. That's why I said I appreciate you, Shirley, because we're constantly doing what we do, and I still there's always more. We can always do more, but we have to choose it. We have to choose to be more. We have to choose to be that sacrifice, not that sacrifice allowing abuse, but the sacrifice being a champion and being our brother's keeper and thinking more about others than we do ourselves. We have to think that way in order to reach a heart and change life. That's my slogan, reaching hearts and empowering lives. That's what it's all about. And I feel if I don't empower somebody, at least one person a day, then no, I am not doing enough. We can all do more. So giving someone a hug, giving someone a smile, or allowing somebody to smile or be happy to see you, that's giving every day. That's sowing into a life every day, empowering them. Because, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to hug someone. It doesn't cost you anything to give a compliment. You never know where an individual is emotionally, because we go through so many different things, and there's so many different levels and layers of depression. It doesn't cost you anything to say a kind word. I'll never forget, we were at an event, and this young lady came up to me, and this was the first time I ever spoke about domestic violence, and she said, thank you. You said you were going to write a book. Please write it, because there's a lot of people like me that need to hear your story and know that there is a way out, that there is a life after domestic violence, and people need to know that there's a life after divorce. Please write that book. So she actually I had written a book, but I didn't have the courage to publish it because I was embarrassed about the fact that I was a woman that was in a domestic violence situation. You know, it's an embarrassing, humiliating thing. But she said to me, please write it. And a few months later, I went on and published that book. And my first book, I sold over 10,000 copies of From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. That's where my journey began, to empower individuals. And that's what I want to be doing until I die, shedding my light, the light that God gave me, to empower someone, because it's not about me. It's about the people that I need to touch so that they can pay it forward. And that's what it's all about.
Wonderful.
Now, you had some very, very good information last week regarding, you know, the cancer and the statistics and stuff. So if you can, you know, go over that briefly, and also if you can share with individuals how to do a breast exam. I know for me, it took me a long time to do it because I was afraid of what I might find. And I know that there's people listening that are in the same situation that I was in. I was afraid of my body because I did not want to know if it was something. And then last year when I went to do my mammogram, they had me come back because they said that they saw a mass and they weren't sure what it was, and I had to go and, you know, get it tested. And fortunately, it wasn't anything. But I tell you, that was the longest 10 days I ever had in my life. the not knowing just gnaws at you. What if? So Shirley, if you could take it from here.
I just want to touch on what you just said, you know, that longest time annoying what if, you know, when they tell you, you got to wait for a response. There's so many things that one would go through just by waiting. The stress alone, it's, you know, it's almost unbearable because your mind is stuck on what if it is, what am I going to do? Who am I going to tell first? How bad is it? How long do I have? You have all of these things that consume you and just thinking you have to wait 2 weeks. It's hard to think about anything else but that. So what I want to do is tell everyone about how to do a Seth breast exam. But, you know, before I go into the seven, there's only seven steps that you take, and it's not a lot. Even though seven, you go, oh, seven different things I have to do if you're doing it properly. But there are some things, some people don't even know what's normal. What is normal about your breast? So practice this month. I know it's almost over, but be breast self-aware. What deep breath self-awareness is getting to know the normal look and the feel of your breath. And, you know, speaking up, if you notice any changes, what you need to know, what is normal? That's breasts that are your usual size, shape, and color. Breasts are evenly shaped without visible distortion or swelling. If you notice any of these things that I'm about to tell you, then you need to see your doctor. If you notice any swelling, soreness, or rash, any warmth, redness, or darkening, change in the size or the shape or either breast. It don't have to be both. It could be just one. Any dimpling, a puckering of your skin, any itchy, scaly, sore, or rash around the nipples, nipples that become flat or inverted, or if they have a discharge, any new pain in one spot that does not go away, any persisting itching, and bumps that resemble bug bites, then you need to start thinking about, you need to contact your doctor, not thinking about it. It's best to know than not know. And now I want to take you through the seven steps in checking your breath. Just think of it as like a toolbox. It's like you have your own breath self-awareness toolbox. And you can find us on the internet as well if you forget some of the things I'm going to tell you. Step number one, when you examine your breasts, you want to stand in front of a mirror. You want to raise your arms up on each side. Raise them over your head, palms pressed together. It's like you're putting a, when you raise your hand, like your hands is clapped and they're over your head. You're standing looking at yourself in the mirror. That's the first step. Second one, look for changes in it, any dimpling, reshaping, redness or soreness, all the things that I just went on. And then with your arm tightly raised, examine under your underarm. So while they're slightly raised up, you want to start with your left side or right side, it doesn't matter. But examine under your arm, feel if you feel any knots or any bumps or anything there. Then you want to lay down on your back with the pillow underneath your right shoulder. Using your left three middle fingers as a pad. See, it's important that you have enough space, so that gives you about 3 inches about it. No, it gives you about 2.5 inches. Using those fingers, you want to take those fingers and fill your right breast, filling for any lumps or tissues that's dime size in circular motion. You just want to fill all around your breast. And then you want to circle all underneath your arm and around your nipples, you know, looking for any firmness, smooth pressure, moving a larger circle until each and outer edge of your breast. Use 3 levels of pressure. You want to go from light to harder to deep pressing, filling it. You want to go up and down on your breast, first with a soft touch, and then you increase the pressure. You want to feel for any changes. Cover your entire breast. Don't miss any tissue. Get to know your breast. And then you want to move the pillow to the left side. And you want to repeat it. You want to touch it. You want to go in circling motions. Then you want to go up and down. And each time, each step you take from touching it, go from softer, harder, and then firm. And then the same thing with the circle of motion and the same thing with the up and down. And you may wonder, why a pillow underneath the shoulder? That way, if you notice when you lay flat on your back, you get the washboard stomach, everything goes flat. But if you're any raise or anything lifting it up, you can see that it's more like a stand-up position. It helps you look more protrude out so you can actually feel the breast. Don't be afraid to touch your breast, though. Don't be afraid at all. So make sure that when you're examining yourself that you're paying attention to any types of difference in the tissue, difference from the left side to the right side. Remember, your breast should feel the same on both sides. It should look the same. It should fall the same. If there's any difference, you need to have it checked out. If you notice the pain, if you notice the discharge, get yourself checked. And by all means, make sure you're taking your mammograms. And your exam should be done monthly. Don't say, oh, I got to wait until they tell me to see something or I think it's that time. No, you should be doing a breast exam monthly. And a lot of, with breast cancers, there's more than 200,000 cases per year now. It's becoming
wow.
So common. 200,000 cases a year, more than that.
What percentage do you know are children?
Very small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
The older you get, the largest percentage of people that are affected with breast cancer, believe it or not, are 41 and older, but there's cases of 2, 5-year-olds, 6 to 13, 14 to 18, and 19 to 40. About half the cases are between 19 and 40. One of the things
wow.
about breast cancer in women is that a lot of it, especially with women of color, African American women particularly, we don't get diagnosed early on. It's usually stage 2, 3, and sometimes 4. And the fact is that this is another fact that really gets me. Is that in the U.S., 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. That's a
wow.
lot. 1 in 8.
That means that if you're out at a banquet or something, you know, having dinner or a black tie event, that means that one person out of every table will have breast cancer.
Yes.
At least one.
Yes. And then it's now just the cancer is so aggressive in women now. It used to be a time when they said mammograms were the number one thing to do. Now mammogram only reduces the number of deaths from breast cancer by 30 to 40% among women between the ages of 40 to 70. That's low. In other words, it's not caught on a mammogram. And 95% of all breast cancer in the U.S. occurs in women that are 40 and older. So the older you get, the more your risk increases.
Hmm.
Right now, today, and I would say this study was from 2015, that 2.9 million breast cancer survivors are in the U.S. It is the largest group of cancer survivors for the United States. And one woman dies every 13 minutes in the U.S. from breast cancer. And every 19 seconds, someone is diagnosed with it. But a man's risk is 1 in 1,000. That's a lot.
Wow. I'm going to open up the lines in case any of our audience has any questions or comments. If you want to ask Shirley a question, you can press 1 and I will cue you in. Press 1 on the dial and I will put you in queue to ask a question or a comment. Caller 2175, you're live. Hello, caller 2175, you're live. Okay. Maybe they didn't have a question or comment. So, Shirley, what do you advise individuals as far as, you know, where to go to get properly tested? Because I know that they have a lot of free mammograms.
Mm-hmm. They do,
and pap smears that they're offering.
And that was the other thing I was going to say is that because I talked about it last week about having like triple negative breast cancer, that you really do need to be aggressive with your treatment. As far as your pap smears and all of that, and if you're not having any more children, get a mastectomy. Because, you know, the chances are increased at such a high rate for you coming down with ovarian cancer, cervical cancer, which are one of the most deadly cancer that a woman can get. It's very hard to cure those. They have the death rate is even higher in those than in breast cancer. one of the things I'd say is that get your mammogram. But they also have some new equipment out now. So make sure you ask about the imaging. Ask them when you go. Say, do you have the imaging machine? And that one is less invasive on a woman's breast because that mammogram, I'm going to be honest with you. You do get a pinch. It does hurt, and especially if you got something going on, you don't want them squeezing you. You want to use that new machine. They have new scans out now, and they are more effective than a mammogram. So talk to the technician if you're getting a mammogram done. And, you know, explain to them, look, this is hurting. No, don't squeeze it like this. And they should listen. Because you can say, no, I need you to stop. I need a different image. I don't want this squeezing me like you're squeezing me. Because, you know, they're the one doing the machine, but they're not in the machine getting that test done. So remember that. You can speak up. But there's different clinics. There's a lot of hospitals that has free mammograms. There's a lot of women clinic that does. And it leads to, there's like Planned Parenthood. A lot of people look at Planned Parenthood as abortion clinic. No, it's a women's clinic. If you need a mammogram and you don't have insurance, a lot of counties are offering programs. So, you know, call your health department. They have programs, and they have a referral list, and even a list of doctors that you can go to. So don't allow a lack of insurance or my insurance won't cover this to stop you. Keep your body, know your body, but keep your checks in, your self-exams and your mammograms. If you got daughters, daughter-in-law, girlfriends, accountability partners, find one that someone is going to hold you accountable for getting yours and you hold them. If you forget, make it a birthday present. When is your birthday? Get it around your birthday. Then you know you'll never forget it because I know you're not going to forget your birthday. Choose a date that you won't forget that comes every year. If you're married, your anniversary time. Oops, got to get my mammogram. Or the date of your first childbirth. Oh, my mammogram. Because you want to be around for your family. That's why you got to get early detection. Does save lives. Start yourself. Mm. And if you find something, and if you find a doctor that says, oh, don't worry about it, get another doctor. Find someone that's going to listen to you and get it checked out.
Absolutely.
And I can tell you, with my foundation,
and this is
to
extend life.
People.
It will definitely extend the life and the life of the loved one. So even after you do it with yourself, you know, call up your girlfriend or whatever and say, have you done your breast exam? Do your self-examination, and then let's go down there. Let's make it a girlfriend day and get checked.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say, Against All Odds is my foundation, and I'm on the web at againstalloddsinc.com. And you can also find us on Facebook, Against All Odds. And you can look under my name on Facebook, Shirley M. Carter, and my foundation is connected to it. We believe in helping women help themselves and educating them about what they need to do to save their life and to help someone else.
Hmm. I thank you once again for being a champion and wanting to go forward to keep our queens intact and even our kings, because men suffer with breast cancer, prostate cancer is their biggest demon that they're up against. And, you know, one thing I will say and let the audience know that cancer doesn't discriminate. There are different forms, different kinds, and it will affect you in different ways. Families will be affected in different ways, and it does not discriminate. It doesn't care who you are, how much money you have.
That's true.
Economic status does not matter. Even when it comes to domestic violence, you would think all lower class individuals, they always fight, and there's always domestic violence with low income and low individuals in our community, but that's not so. You have white collar individuals that are facing, and I was a middle class and in domestic violence. So it doesn't discriminate, doesn't care about your economical
status. It doesn't care how beautiful you are. Halle Berry proved that. She's a victim of domestic violence, so it does not care about that. It doesn't care about how gorgeous, if you can be a model or you may be slightly overweight. It doesn't discriminate. Individuals may attack you and assault you because they're not happy with themselves, and misery loves company. But hopefully I've said something tonight that will encourage you and inspire you to walk and be that beautiful queen that God created you to be. And you, my dear kings, walk with your head up high and be that covering that God created you to be our protection, our protection, our protection. So, in saying that again, I invite you to the website, fromthesoulofawoman.com. And if you want to donate to keep us on the air and support the work I do, you can go to the website or email me at soultopics@gmail.com and say, Dr. Hagen, I will support From the Soul of a Woman, and I will support Against All Odds. We'd love to have you partner with us so that we can continue to reach hearts and empower lives. Any closing remarks, Shirley?
I just want to say, in honor of Domestic Violence Month and Breast Cancer Awareness Month, you know, that someone reach out to someone. And I know everyone knows someone that is affected by both, and give them a word of encouragement. And you stand in the gap for someone, even if it's only for this month. Stand for someone. And thank you for joining us. And also, my website is againstalloddsinc.com. And support us so we can continue to move forward, as Dr. Hagen said. Give us the support that we need.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to hearing you all and you all accompanying me on next Tuesday for another Hot Topic from the Soul. If this show has been a blessing, go to the website. Those of you that are calling in, listening by phone or listening online, email it to a friend. Just simply download it from the website, blogtalkradio.com/soultopics, and send me an email at soultopics@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Good night and God bless. And don't forget to vote.
Oh, yes. Good night.